Hey guys, welcome back to After the Exit, where we dive into everything wealth related. And if you sold your company, you may feel these certain feelings or topics that you want to talk about, but you can't. We're going to get into them. Some of them are kind of awkward, but we try to get into as many as possible. This episode, though, we talk about executive health. We both did our annual checkup. What does something like this cost? What our results are and our lifestyle changes now? We both did goal setting. We did it with our partner and we planned it out how you can too. We dive into that. Then lastly, 2 years post-exit, the things that we've learned. So this is cool. We're going to dive in and jump on in. All right, thanks. Okay, so weekend, you said it was a good weekend, and you guys went mountain biking.
Went mountain biking, which is dangerous at my age.
Whose idea was this?
My friend, he wanted to do something active and get out there, and so I was like, okay.
You can get back out there.
Never been mountain biking, but I feel like at my age, you take a spill, you're done. You're done.
Did you take a spill?
No. Luckily, it was good. I was good, but I was definitely worried about it.
But you pulled something? Or
No, I'm all good. I didn't injure myself, but I did. I injured my Achilles like a year ago, and it's just like flashback of healing for a year. It's like, I don't want that to happen.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, yeah.
Did you see the guy that ran out in the field and tore his Achilles?
Yeah.
I thought about you and another friend tore his Achilles too.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's go. And he runs out, trips over, Achilles gone.
Yeah. Worst injury. That's such an awful injury. But yeah.
I actually got my blood test done. I did my annual physical on Thursday, something like that. But I did all the stuff. I added the Peter Attia, the apo, lipo. My blood pressure, I was surprised, was down from 4 months ago. Because I bought a blood pressure thing at home to have too. Although nice. I started measuring it like every 2 days and I was like, I don't think there's much variance here. But I do think the daily exercise has helped, I think.
Yeah, daily exercise is huge. I need to make sure I'm doing it daily. My doctor, he's a longevity doctor, and he was like, you can get this machine that like deprives you of oxygen. So you put a mask on, it like deprives you of oxygen, kind of like you're training at like above sea level. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you work out for just 15 minutes and you get to the point where you're about to pass out. And then you flip a switch and it floods you with oxygen. And supposedly that makes your like VO2 max go through the roof.
Oh, so this is a VO2 test.
It's not a test. It's to increase your VO2 max. Oh. Right? Which is connected to longevity or whatever. So,
okay.
So he was like, you can get this machine. It was just like $5,000 for this machine. He's like, but basically we'll do all that. And then all you need to do is like 15 minutes of exercise. And supposedly it's like amazing for you. But I haven't gone down that route yet.
So how was the testing? Because I think you mentioned you started a doctor 2 months ago?
Yeah. So I went to this doctor. We did a lot of different blood tests and things. Then I'm getting a CCTA, which is like CT angiogram with Clearly. So that would like give me all the heart stuff.
What they keep talking about on the All-In Pod.
They keep talking about that. There's the Galleri test, which is like tests you for cancers. So it's a blood test that will test you for a bunch of different cancers and stuff. I'm getting like ColonGuard, which checks for like colon cancer. It checks for like polyps and things. It's like not quite a colonoscopy, but comparable in some sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I'm doing all those things and just trying to stay healthy. And
like, is this insurance covered or no? It's all out of
pocket? No, most of it is out of pocket. There's a few things that are covered by insurance, but most of it is out of pocket, unfortunately. I think some of these things are like...
Is this like $5,000 a year for an exec doctor or like...
It was a one-time physical. It was just under $2,000 for the whole physical and everything.
And can you reach out to them or it's just like a test that we do...
Well, there was like an in-office visit and we go through all the tests and he gives recommendations or whatever. He does concierge medicine, whereas if I wanted to continue, it would be $5,000 a year and then he could treat me or whatever. And he likes to do things like human growth hormone and testosterone and all the stuff to try to keep you healthy and young and all those kinds of things.
That's cool. Did you get any results back?
I got results. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it? Mostly healthy.
I need to get my heart health a little better. Other than that, I'm pretty good.
What did he say he's doing? That's all diet?
Yeah, I mean, diet and exercise are like the exercise, I think, is actually might be number one, but exercise, diet, they're both way up there. Those are like the two most important things.
Do you think it's a big diet change you have to make or it's?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, it's just like getting rid of all the crap, right? No processed foods, getting rid of all saturated fats, cheeses, like anything that would that you would think would raise your cholesterol, right? It's like all that kind of stuff. It's like
just hard.
Hang off of it. Yeah, it's hard. I think that's where like Private Chef comes into play.
We should talk about that too.
Yeah.
Changing food consumption is very hard. My thing is sugar. We're just like almost obsessed with sugar. I have my big ass calendar though from Jesse Itzler that you guys can get to. I think a really cool, which we can talk about later. But one of my habit changing things was 3 times a week dessert only.
How often were you having dessert? That's crazy.
Like 6, maybe 7. Oh my I don't know. Goodness. I wasn't looking, but it was like my wife would order insomnia cookies on DoorDash and we're like just hanging on the couch or... We're like, hey, you want to go get ice cream? We go get ice cream somewhere. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
Well, you're both pretty fit for eating dessert. Yeah, we're dessert, very fit. Like things are good, but I was like,
any obsession like this where, and I would go off of it for 4 or 5 days though, and I'm definitely more aggravated. I'm like a little bit more short. Mm-hmm. And there'd be points I just need something. Like I tried the more artificial sweeteners, didn't really give the fix. So I just have like a little bit of chocolate or something and that would help. And I was like, wow, this is just weird.
Have you ever worn a blood glucose monitor to see?
No, I have seen them. I see them on the arms popping up more and more.
There's like levels. There's a couple companies. I have tried it. Yes. And
was there anything helpful from it?
I mean, it's kind of the normal stuff. I mean, the one thing that was surprising, I actually never have cereal with milk, like never. And I had like healthy-ish cereal, like some healthy whole food cereal with milk, and my blood sugar just shot like crazy, like more so than like alcohol or having like a dessert or whatever. And I was like, what is going on? And I think it was the milk, but whatever it was.
Oh, you
I
think
was
like, it wasn't the cereal.
It was I don't milk. Know if it was the milk or the cereal, but either way, it was like that more than anything spiked. And I was like,
Do you remember what kind of milk it was or no?
I think it was just like low fat milk. Gotcha. Just normal milk. Yeah.
I downloaded MyFitnessPal and I measured what I was eating for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was shocked at what the actual components were. I thought it was healthy. For example, mornings I have Greek yogurt and a protein shake. Then I have a protein bar. I'm trying to get to this like weight in grams thing. Then lunch, salad, frozen chicken with salad dressing on it. And then dinner, half a week or so, we'll cook like chicken and veggies, things like that. Mm-hmm. My sodium intake was 3,500 milligrams and sugar was okay, but the sodium was really high and there just wasn't enough protein.
What kind of bars were they? What kind of?
It's like a lifestyle. They're at Costco. It's like Rob something or I don't know. It's like Fit Crunch bars.
Okay.
Pretty good. Maybe 16 grams of protein or so. So I started adding a protein shake in the afternoon as well to help, but yeah, the sodium was crazy. And it turns out it was for dinner, when we marinate the chicken, we put it in this like Japanese barbecue sauce thing that we just found. That had an insane amount of sodium and that we put on the grill. And two, my quote unquote salad lunch was like, I think I mentioned these before, but it was something like 1800 milligrams of sodium.
That's crazy.
The salad dressing, the frozen chicken, both added up just to be a lot. So anyway, tossed that, went back to the store, looked at stuff and switched it and got things back in control. But I guess the point is, it was crazy without measuring how many things just kind of slipped through of like, whoa.
Yeah. Have you thought about doing like cold turkey on sugars anyway? Like going for a couple of weeks and seeing if you get past that like craving stage?
No, I haven't thought about it because I don't want to, but I think I can turn it down. And with my wife's help, I think we could both do it together. She, oddly enough, gives in more than I do, which it used to be the other way around. But anyway, that's really cool on the health thing. It seems like everybody's... The Atiyah, the Limitless show. Did you see that on Disney Plus?
No, I haven't seen that.
Really good. I guess he has like a gene that just... He may have dementia a little bit earlier. It's in his family. And so he went to Peter Atiyah to get all the, you know, what should I do to help make this better? And then they did a ton of exercises from there. But
yeah, I think what's really important is or what's important to me is getting all that data and just seeing what's happening and catching things early, measuring. Although if you go to like conventional doctors, a lot of them that are more conservative, they'll be like, well, why are you doing this test? You shouldn't be doing this. Like, there's no reason.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
Because they look at like populations and they're like, if you look at a population and you do this kind of test and it finds false positives, then all those false positives people are trying to chase down and there's no real issue and it's causing more harm than good. That's what they say. But in my eyes, it's how, like, what you actually do when you find the issue. It's not finding the issue, right? It's like, what do you do when you find the issue? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where it is. Having more data shouldn't be a bad thing. But I think a lot of doctors out there do view it as a bad thing, which confuses me. But I like the data. I want to see. If I have cancer, I want to find out like immediately, yeah, right? Same. I want to know immediately. Like, if I have a heart issue, I should know right away so I can make changes. That's the key to like living longer, is to kind of know those things about your body.
Did you do the 23andMe?
I did. I've done 23andMe.
Anything in there? Like, I had some issues, but I knew them from my parents.
Yeah, nothing crazy in there. Oh, you know what I am doing? So, you know, Brian Johnson just launched his like plan with 5,000 people. So I'm one of the 5,000 people who's in it. I should get my delivery, I think, this week. And it includes, all his stuff, like his pills, some of his food and like all that stuff.
He himself is going to be one of the biggest companies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the crazy content he puts out there that people are like, I'd like to do this, but I can't. I don't know how to do this extreme, but give me like that.
Yeah, box. Exactly. Give it. It's like 80%. The cool thing, what he's doing. So first of all, I'm in this Discord community with all these people. They are insane. These people are like all in. It's like crazy how all in some of these people are. I'm like, I'll try it, whatever. But what he's doing is he's getting these 5,000 people to measure everything about themselves for this 90-day trial to see, like, are they improving in all these areas, which is kind of cool. So, like, there's a blood test, and then there's health questionnaires and all these things that he's doing as people go through and try his protocol, basically. So he's kind of doing, like, these human trials with his community, which is kind of crazy. I don't know if anyone's ever done anything like that.
I mean, I think the last trial with that ultra-healthy stuff was that Soylent.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Which was sketchy. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so it's just super interesting what he's trying to accomplish here. And I think, you know, of the 5,000, obviously all 5,000 aren't going to give all the data and do everything, but I think he'll have at least 1,000 or 2,000 people.
Because he does the meetups and stuff too.
He does meetups. I haven't done the meetups at all, no. But I'm just...
I don't know what they do. Is it running? They all go running?
I think they go out and meet somewhere. They go hiking. I mean, he's trying to build this community. But it's crazy having 5,000 people on day one that are like, yeah, here, take my money. It's like, I think it's like $1,000 for 3 months, right? So he's basically got 5,000 people. Who are like,
I think that just shows, this is totally separate, but the business model of just building the audience and then selling the product, which is like basically what every influencer does at some point. That's really cool though. Sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it works. I'm interested to see how it affects me and how I feel on it. So I'll be starting it here soon. I just ordered it. I guess they just got deliveries last week and they're starting to ship it out. So hopefully soon.
Before you sold your business, were you super health conscious like this?
No, not super health conscious. I mean, I'd always work out and try to eat healthy or at least pretend. I knew what healthy was. I wasn't always compliant. I mean, I'm not always compliant now, but I always would try to do like certain tests and things. Obviously that stuff, it adds up and it's, insurance doesn't cover it. So it's expensive if you really want to be like on top of the gallery test is like $1,000 to test for cancers, right? Or if you do Prenuvo, that is I think a few thousand bucks or something to like do. So all these things add up. It's all out of pocket. Prior to selling the company, it was more cost prohibitive. Yeah, I did a couple things, but not as much.
Yeah, it always seems that that becomes a lot more popular for people. I think the cost, yes, but I think it's more so the extra time, the extra free time. You're able to think about this stuff more versus before. It's like, I have so much to do.
Right.
Like, I barely have time to go to the gym and I'll probably end up skipping it or whatever. And
I think that's part of it. I think it's also part of it is like, I've kind of won at life. Like, I have all this money, right? So it's like, now I just want to live long and enjoy it, right?
True.
And like, I think that's a big part of it too, is like, yeah, how do I enjoy this as long as possible rather than like die tomorrow from a heart attack? But yeah, I agree. It's like years worth of damage when you're building a company of stress and eating junk and like not exercising and all those things.
There's one of the post-exit groups called Post-Exit Founders you're also in. And there's a chat. I don't know if you check on this one, the Health and Wellness, I think it's called, PF Health and Wellness.
No.
Anyway, it's crazy, like, people, the stuff people, I can't even pronounce some of these words of things that are taken or tried or, yeah, it's on another level. I love the, Atiya said in this one video, he's like, I just want to help you get to 80% or so of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And which is usually, it sounds like the diet and eating and kind of measuring some of these blood measurement things. So anyway, because it does seem like you can go down some deep rabbit holes.
You can go down deep rabbit holes. The one thing, though, like that the doctor I met with said, which is true, it's like, if you're not doing the basics, why are you trying these crazy things, right? If you're not eating well and exercising, like why the hell are you going to take some medicine that you're like...
What do you have for breakfast? Yeah, you're like, Honey Nut Cheerios?
Right, exactly. Like, why are you going to try this medication that we think might help extend lifespan, but could also have some crazy life?
How much water did you drink today?
Yeah, exactly.
Like three sips?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He had this quote. He's like, he's like, you need to drink a ton of water because the solution to pollution is dilution. So he's basically like having all this crap in an environment or whatever. It's like, you just got to flush it out and have a ton of water.
That's good.
So yeah, if you're not doing these basics, right, which are not crazy cost prohibitive, you don't need these crazy doctors. Like, why are you going to go down the rabbit hole and like take some crazy medication you can't pronounce, right?
Speaking of water and water bottles, that whole like nanoplastic thing came out of the Wall Street Journal article. I'll try to put this in the description links, but it's basically that there's a lot of nanoplastics, which are smaller than microplastics, in water bottles. There's like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands or millions, whatever it is. And so, but the conclusion was, is that there's no studies done that correlate that to something bad. Obviously, you've been big on like, you don't store anything.
No, I've got glass Tupperware containers. I got, you know, water bottles that are either metal or glass, and I've been doing it for a while. Yeah, and definitely don't heat up anything in the microwave.
I've heard that one for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know. And now every time I drink from a water bottle, I'm like, I look at it, like, all right, well.
I mean, we live in a world where I think it's impossible to avoid completely, but it's like, just minimize as much as you can, right? Because, I mean, I think these things do affect, you're saying, you can't point to anything specific where it's negative, but like we see certain cancer rates are going up, autism rates are going up, like all these things are happening in our society. It's like, it's most likely environmental factors, and plastics might be one of them.
True. Okay. This wasn't on my list, but this was
a good discussion. We can talk now. You know, you talked about the Post-Exit Founders group. I don't know if you saw the thread today in the email where the guy was like, sold my company, made a ton of money, his kids are older, and he's basically like, I feel so lost in life, right? And he's like,
super common.
Super common.
I wanted to write something back. You know, the one thing that I think, maybe we could, let's just talk about that stuff for a bit. Because I think you're two-ish years in, I'm two-ish years in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing, the most important thing that I didn't appreciate and didn't hear, like there's a lot of advice. There's like, you know, you'll find your second wind or whatever that is, all the stuff, but that this is normal, A, and B, expect it to take 3 years, 5 years, I don't know, some super low standard of long amount of time to figure out fully who you actually are, and like minus the business, because essentially all of those 80 hours a week or whatever time you spent is gone. So there's this huge void.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I lowered my standards on that, that started to create relief, where before there was a lot of anxiety of do something, like find something, research that, go talk to that person, go to that event or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that guy, I think he sold his company like decades ago or something. So I think something like that, like he's been out for a long time, or if not him, someone in the thread was like, sold their company a long time ago and they're like still lost or whatever, which I think comes down to, you know, I think we were going to talk about goal setting and like, you know, still keeping a purpose, right? And like figuring those things out. I mean, I know like I know they've done studies and seen that like when people retire from their jobs, right, their longevity goes down, right? Their death rate speeds up, basically.
Really?
So like, yeah, because like people lose that purpose. Like they don't have that purpose anymore. So, I mean, super interesting topic. I think goals are still extremely important to have, right? And I think, yeah, I was thinking about this when we kind of were talking about the topic. I think even like Tim Ferriss in the book 4-Hour Workweek was like, once you've kind of like solved the money side of things, you need something to go on. And like he took like dance classes in Argentina to become like a ballroom dancer and compete or whatever, right? And I think all those things are about creating a purpose for what you want and giving you goals and things to attain. Because I think without that, it is really hard if you're just kind of wandering with no goals and purpose.
There's this, have you seen this Alex Hormozi guy?
Yes.
On YouTube? It's really popular. It's like the new age Gary Vee almost. I kind of wish he was around when I was running the business though, because he does give a lot of really good business advice that's very to the point.
Yeah.
He said he has seasons of life. And he said he may have like 5 years where he, you know, worked on this business or whatever. That mm-hmm. was a season. He yep. may spend a year or two writing his book. That was a season. He may float around for a year or two. That was a season, and so on. And it doesn't always seem like it's a season maybe in the time, but it's like you can look back later to say, oh yeah, that section of time was that season.
Right. Yep.
And I feel like for me, I was like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, so that's okay. Like, yeah, it's all right to dabble in like five different things. Like that's my season. Like that's, mm-hmm. I'm at Old Country Buffet and like I'm trying the mac and cheese and the ham and the brownies and like the turkey and whatever else to see which one I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to figure out what you really like until you get a little bit deeper, but
right.
you know, instead of just reading about it. So,
but are you talking specifically about like quote unquote work or like productivity things that you're dabbling in, or what kind of things are you talking about?
Yeah, I think it's things and work. For me personally, I'm spending a lot of time surfing. I'm trying to improve there. I'm spending time just at home, like when my wife gets home and we may go hike or run or do whatever together, spending time on the business that I'm still employed at, spending time on potentially like looking at other business opportunities or advisor type of roles, business ideas, diving deeper, real estate syndicate. I have on my list to go through like a very deep dive and to understand how that works. So,
and these are goals that you put in place for the year? Or?
You know, a lot of those aren't. Only like one of them actually are. So I probably should. I probably should document that.
I mean, you did go through a goal exercise, right? And
yeah,
plan your year.
Which we could go into.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting. Because I think people think like, oh, you got to find meaning. It has to be like work, right? But I don't necessarily think it has to be, right? It could be other things that you're motivated by, that keeps you interested, that challenges you, right? Like for me right now, I'm really focused on golf, right? In the same way that someone would be focused on like trying to run a marathon, right? So I'm trying to improve my score. I have a goal. I want to get there. And it's just like something to put my focus in and try. Does it really mean anything? No, but it's important to me and I'm working towards that. And it's something that challenges me. And so I think those things are good too, not just thinking about it in terms of like, you know, how people generally think of like work or productivity.
That's true. I actually wrote a post about that as far as like redefining what your job is.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said this to me too, is just like, you could just go hard at something that you're passionate about. Like it probably takes 100%. A lot of time anyway. Like
yeah,
100%. Surfing, for example,
yep.
There's the time in the water, there's working out, there's figuring out what to eat and doing that stuff. There's watching video and stuff. You get someone to film you. You can go on trips with camp. I mean, there was like a lot involved. Sounds ridiculous and stupid, but like.
But if it's what you enjoy and it challenges you, like
yeah, that may be the season.
It's just as stupid as like working at a company and like filling out a spreadsheet, right? I mean, that's stupid. I mean, just because you're helping a company and getting money for it, like that's any more worthwhile,
yeah.
Right? I think if it just fulfills you and it's interesting and challenging, yeah. I think we should talk about your calendar here.
Should we do it?
I think that's super okay. interesting.
I was going to pull up the goals too, because I think this was a really good template. But yeah, let's do it. I watched Jesse Itzler's episode on My First Million. I was very inspired by him. just tons of energy. I always get fired up when I listen to, like, the Tony Robbins episode they had recently.
Yeah.
You just get fired up, want to do something. I bought the calendar, came in a couple weeks later. And I think what I liked about it is, and what's crazy is I personally have never goal set before. Have you?
I have. Yes, I have, but more on the professional side or things I was doing personally. This year I did something interesting, which we can talk about, where okay. I did goal setting with my wife, which was very different.
I'll do it.
But yeah, I think going back to the calendar. So what is the objective of the calendar?
Okay, so the calendar is like this big grid, and on the top rows are the days of the week, and then along the rows, like on the column, the y-axis is the month. So essentially, you can see, it's essentially a calendar that you could see the whole year on this like 4-foot by 4-foot piece of paper. The cool thing is that you get 5 different colored post-it notes, and each one signifies something that means something to you. Jesse says, take those, and number one, you should have a misogi moment, which is, it's a Japanese term. It I believe it's like supposed to be where you're going to this waterfall and you're doing this ritual thing. But in this context, it's basically one thing that you've worked super hard for, and it's a year defining moment. This is like, you look back and wow, that was so crazy. You look back at the pictures and it means a lot. Then you have every other month, you have a mini adventure. So something you wouldn't normally do. And then you have quarterly habit changing events. That, again, this is a guide. You have more colors. You could put different goals, different activities you want to do. I don't know, marathons, whatever it is. And you fill it up. And the beautiful thing, I think, about the calendar, though, is that you see everything. Like, you visually see. It's like zooming out of your calendar, but you physically see everything at once. And every time I walk by it, I'm like, cool, I'm looking forward to this trip. Or I'm looking forward to going that adventure.
I think that's awesome. I think having things to look forward to is super important too,
yeah.
Right? And so having it visually, so you, every time you walk by, you see it. So let's talk. So what is your misogi? Okay.
Originally it was this really big trip. I shared this with a few friends and who had been in his like club thing.
Okay.
And they're like, dude, that's not a misogi. Like you're glamping like in this adventure thing. Like that's not, you're not roughing it or anything. You're not preparing for it. And so I was like, he's like, it should be something you're really working hard for. And so I still need to actually figure that out a little bit. I wanted it to be participating in a surf competition, which was one at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And in the back of my head, it kind of is, but I didn't want to put it on paper because I have a lot of work still to do. So I don't know. It feels a little bit difficult, but maybe that's,
you gotta make it real. You can't wait till the end of the year and say, oh, now this is my
I've said it out loud to this coach monthly thing I'm doing, yeah. And so I put it out there, but you're right, I should just
you're a 12th of the way done with the year, so you gotta
okay, mini adventures. We want to do Patty certification. We did a ski trip. We rented a van. We're gonna go camp for a couple days. We're going on a trip to El Salvador for the surf trip. I just booked this other surf trip, actually. I was with my parents this weekend. I'm like, wow, I'm spending a lot on surfing. Like, we have this trip overseas, and then we wanted to stay on a farm. So that was a bunch. And then my bonus is, if I have time, I'd like to get sailing certified, like this entry-level one.
That's awesome.
Okay.
What are your habit changing
things? Stop biting my nails.
Okay.
So I bought this, I need to use it and put it on, but I bought this like stuff that tastes bad if you bite it.
Yep. I got that for my daughter, stopping to suck her thumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it works. She's on board with it and it works. So it's good.
Nice. Okay. That's good to know. So if it works for her, it should work for me. Run at least once a week. And so I need to up my cardio. I've been doing that, and I've actually been doing 2 times a week. Every time I'm about to go, I think about you because we went the other day.
Yeah.
But it's so random. It's like, I got to go for a run. So I was with my parents. I'm like, I got to go for 20 minutes or it'd be super early. Anyway, that was the second big one. And I can't see the other two. No, I can't remember. I remember most of it, surprisingly. But anyway, I'll look at it. Okay.
That's awesome. That's good.
How did you... All right, let's talk about your...
Okay.
Goal setting, especially with the wife.
Yeah. Part. So this was interesting. So I've always done goal planning, especially business goal planning, right? When I was running my business, I'd always have something personal too. Usually it had like health related kind of something for the year. But this is the first year where I sat down with my wife and we planned what we want for our family and things we want to do together and all of that, which was really cool. Basically, I got a template from that group, the PEF group. Someone listed, and it's literally a 12-page document on like all these questions and all these things to explore. And it was cool. So then my wife and I spent, it took a couple of weeks to get through. We'd spend like one day a week for several hours kind of just going through it and goal planning. And so, you know, it was like, what do we want from the year? Who are our good friends that we want to hang out with more? What couples do we want to hang out with? What are the adventures we want to have as a family? What do we want for our children? What are the things we want for them for the year? And just going through all those things that we never really sat down together and went through. And I think...
Did you do it all together or did you go off on your own and then...
So yeah, actually we started individually filling out everything and then we came together and kind of talked through each so we could then see where we're on the same page, where, you know, we want to kind of make adjustments or whatever. And yeah, it was a really cool exercise. And then, you know, one of the things is... You know, I mean, it had things in there that we never really think about, right? So we have two kids and it's like, how are you going to separately from each of the kids have your own kind of things you do with the kids, right? So usually we do stuff together, but it's like, hey, yeah, I should have my own time with my daughter and my son separately and do different things. So thinking through that or like, you know, how are me and my wife going to ensure that we get our time together and alone? So one of the things we have is we're going to get away every quarter together, just me and my wife. And then during that time we're going to away, we're going to kind of relook at the goals and make sure we're on track and kind of go through stuff as one of the things that we do. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. Never done anything like that. Highly recommend.
So it's set. We'll see how it goes. You guys have the plan?
It's kind of set. Yeah. We have a plan. I mean, I think we're executing on it decently well, you know, I mean, obviously it's, you know, with 12 pages of stuff, it's impossible to get everything, but I think we are, I mean, we're doing the things we want to do, doing fun things with the kids.
What's this quarter's getaway for you guys?
So we're actually going to the Ojai Valley Inn.
Oh, cool.
Which is, we've never been before, heard great things. So we're going to go there and kind of hang out, just us. And yeah, we're going to go to the spa. I'm going to actually golf when I'm there. And we're there for a long weekend. And then we've got some dinner plans and some fun stuff. So
wow,
super excited about that. So
yeah. What was surprising going through that? Because that's interesting, especially with your wife. Like this was fun to do, but I'm sure this was even maybe more, I don't know if the right word is revealing, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was. I mean, it's like, where are we in terms of what we want personally, what we want for the family, what's important to us? Where are we emphasizing the right things and the wrong things with our kids and things we want to do? And so, yeah, I mean, I think it was just, you know, I mean, I think the good thing is we were, you know, for the most part, both on the same page for a lot of stuff. And then in other areas, we're like, oh, we can do this a little more, do that a little more. It's like, what do we, some of the questions were like, what do you want your spouse to do less of, right? Like, or what do you want them to do more of, right? So looking at like, okay, where are those tensions in the relationship that maybe you just want to get out there and kind of be upfront about it and talk about it? And so
I wonder if I asked my wife, what do you want me to do more? I know what she would say more of.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like more, like plan more stuff to do.
Oh, really?
I think, we've talked about this where the dinners and stuff were nice, but like what are other things that we like could go do together and keep things fresh?
Yeah.
But less, do less. I'm not exactly sure.
Come on. You know, you do something that annoys her.
Okay. So one of my love languages is like affection and touch and everything. Yeah. That's not hers. Mm. So I think she jokingly say that at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like hers is quality time and gifts. Yeah. So, but she's like a little bit more independent. She's like, stop. You're too close. But I don't know other than that. That's a great dinner conversation though. I'm going to ask
you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think even just looking at some of those questions on the sheet and just, you don't have to goal plan, but just chat with them and kind of see. But yeah, it definitely, I think there were some really deep and good conversations that came out of doing that exercise.
Anything else surprising?
I'm trying to think.
Is my doctor calling actually with the test results? Blood test results. They won't email or fax or anything.
Yeah.
I have to physically go there and pick up the paper.
Oh, that's kind of annoying. You know, nothing that I can think of offhand. I mean, we did it now, I guess, like 2 months ago or so. But we're going to re-review coming up here actually this coming weekend. So maybe after that, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was surprising.
I think I want to do something like that. I like that. This was a really fun exercise to do together, the calendar one.
Yeah.
But I love to do, so this is a year, that's great. But like, what is like 5 year type of goals like that you see or want to do? Or like, even if it's just high level type of stuff, will be fun to think about. Anyway, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The other, I think what I'll share here really quick is just the template of this personal and professional goals. I thought this was helpful to frame it since I don't know if I could share that PDF doc, but basically this was a great starting point. So there's family, personal, business, and financial. And another person told me to do something similarly in that, what do you want for each of these categories? And then get as specific and measurable as possible. He told me, he was like, financial, like, do you want to, for example, do you want your income to be passive or active? All right, let's say you say active.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why? Well, I think that'd be fun to generate. I like the reward of working on something and then getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how much? And he just like kept asking these questions. And at first I said, oh, I want to have a company that I'd sell for $100 million. And he's like, okay, why? And I was like, well, I guess that sounds like a fun number and I could break it down. It's like $20 million ARR and this growth and so on. Like, okay, but like, why? Like, what does it mean to you? And eventually it was to a point where I was like, okay, this actually doesn't matter. It's just an ego thing.
Yeah.
And it violates the first part, which is personal, which I said that I want to spend time. My wife gets home from work. I want to hang out and spend time. There's no way that would be possible in that situation.
Right.
So, okay,
right.
Cross that off. So going through these four sections, personal, business, financial, family, helped to flesh that out. And I think is a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Not as detailed as like the 12 pager, but like,
no, this was a good one. Great. I mean, we did this in a group together and I thought that was super helpful too. But I think, you know, going back to your point, I think a lot of people fall into that trap. They sell a company and then they feel like they need to then do it again. Right. Like, but like why $100 million? Like that question that you were asked, like why, like it doesn't matter, right? The money doesn't matter at this point. So like, why does that? And I think people fall into that trap as like, this is the goal, right? For whatever reason.
I like that pivot in a way, because sometimes I think that we have a skill, like a lot of people have different skills. Some people are like really good with people and they just are amazing in sales, or they're really good at, I don't know, being a coach or something. They've been doing it for 10 years, 15 years. They've built a unique edge, like a skill set that's an edge to others. Don't you think you have an edge that now you're not using by not working at a company? And that's like the way of I think about it.
Right. But if I'm enjoying my life outside of that, why does it matter? Like, am I going to be on my deathbed and be like, man, I wish I built another company because I had this skill set to do it.
I know everybody says the deathbed and the working and like, I get it. But at the same time,
here's something to me that actually is one of my goals for the year.
Okay.
And I do get value in terms of using the skills, is helping others, right? Like helping others be successful with their business. Right.
Okay.
So that's something for me, that's using that skill set to help guide other people and companies to be successful. So I can see doing something like that. But for me personally, being like, well, I have to do this because I have the skill set, I don't feel that need, but I'd love to help other people and companies succeed and have these crazy outcomes that are life-changing. To me, that's where I find value personally and where I would put that skill set to use. But even if I wasn't, I don't know if I feel like it's a waste. I mean, like, you learned algebra in school and you're not using it. Or do you feel like,
I don't know. Pythagorean theorem.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of situations that you probably have some skill sets that you're not using. Like, do you feel the same way about that? Like, why specifically about business?
I think because that is such a big value add. Like, you're hiring people, you're solving a lot of customers' problems. Like, it's so impactful. Even if it's 15 customers, but it's like they're paying you for it, they like it.
Impactful.
It helps them.
In what way?
impactful to the customers, impactful to the people that you're hiring and the small team there. I mean,
you're selling some whatever SaaS software to the company and it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. it helps them. But like at what point, like how is that? I mean, like, is it really impactful? Like in what way? Yeah.
I think about like we were helping small businesses before and I knew a lot of the customers and I think like I'd hear them. I have emails. We have all these testimonial pages of people like, I love this thing. You know, it's really changed our business. This helped us so much. Granted, you know, I'm sure obviously they did 100 million other things that helped them. Mm-hmm. But I think about that. I just think sometimes I'm like, well, it's cool that I'm diving into these other things, but mm-hmm. like sort of my bread and butter is software. So shouldn't I be almost doubling down in a way? And it doesn't mean from a valuation perspective or a money perspective, but you're right. Maybe that's an advisory perspective or like we're toying around with little projects.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like to you that it felt like that was a big impact. And to you, that is impactful, helping small businesses in some way with software or whatever it is. So you know, maybe it is worth it for you to kind of build that out, right? I don't know.
But to
me personally,
like,
no. I'm like, you know, I sold something that there was value add to my customers for sure. But do I feel like I was changing the world? No.
Yeah.
You know, it helped the company, you know, do better. Great.
Remember when that was startups, that was the thing to say?
Yeah.
We didn't say that because that was the cheesiest thing ever, but come change the world with us, of photo editing or whatever the hell.
Right. I definitely didn't feel that. But there is a group of people who feel like for their second startup, they need it to be bigger, right? It needs to change the world. It needs to be, you know.
Yeah, that feels like a trap to me.
The Teslas of the world or the Figure AI. Right.
I got to go
10X. Yeah, I got to go 10X. This has to be a world impact. It has to be like way bigger. So yeah, why do you think that's
that,
a trap? Yeah.
But then at the same time, we didn't fundraise and stuff. And so I was never on that path. I loved the 37 Signals. They're kind of carving their own lane type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess if you fundraising went that path and you wanted a big exit, then you're addicted to that and kind of want that again. But yeah, that to me, I think there's two things I think about. Number one, to me, that feels like a trap in that I have to go bigger. And to your point, it's like, why? And to this other mentor's point, like really dig deep as to like what, like mm-hmm. what's the reasoning. And then the other thing is that like, I feel that when people sell their company, there's the too passive investor or second time founder thing. And I like to question stuff. So I'm playing devil's advocate on my own end, but
there's a third path.
I don't need to.
Neither.
Right. It doesn't need to be that.
Get off the road.
But it seems that's the most common. Although
yeah.
Maybe that's biased to those of the people that are most vocal though as well. Versus the people that aren't probably are just not really online. They're probably not sharing that. They're like, why? I'm doing my own.
Yeah. Or they're sharing that they're, you know, like the guy, he's unhappy. He hasn't been doing anything and he's unhappy and lost.
True.
Right. So it's hard to say. But what about going big, not in terms of valuation, right? Being the $1 billion company or whatever, but like in terms of impact in the world, right? So it's building a company that has more impact.
Yeah.
In the areas that you want versus a monetary 10X bigger, right?
That's a fair thought.
So if you want to help, like for example, you want to help small businesses, maybe there's a way you can impact small businesses 10X and that's your next big, that's your big kind of goal or thing.
The one
you want
thing
to
I'm discovering about myself is that I do enjoy the reward of money for a service or something that I did. And so selling things on Facebook Marketplace that we don't need. Like I was like, wow, you know, here's $50. Like that's awesome. Put it on the counter, kind of look at it for a day. Like, let's go get sushi. Or like actually out here, it's like 2 sushi rolls. But you're right. Maybe it's a balance. And I guess it doesn't need to be all or nothing anymore. It can be a couple different things that you are passionate about and do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll figure it out later. I kind of on this train here, I think the last thing I wanted to touch on was we talked about it's been 2-ish years. What are the things you feel like you've learned, right? Because I think this could be shared with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very lost, not I mean, partially was identity wise, but also partially I was like, I don't understand what the windfall means. I don't know where I'm supposed to put it. I don't know what to invest in. I don't, like, all of these things were very new, as the only thing I was focused on was working on the product and growing the business and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So putting you on the spot here a bit, but I've got a whole list that I'll also like jog back and forth with you on, but
yeah.
I mean, things you could think about.
I think one thing is, I think the, you know, what do I do after is an evolution. It's not like you, at least for me, you pick something and you go with it, right? At first I left the company and I kind of felt like, oh, I need to do something. And then I was like, oh no, let's take a few months and wait. And then I was like, okay, I have all these business ideas. I should execute on them. I'm going to build like a holding company and just build them out. And then it's like, no, maybe I don't really want to do that. Focus on other things. So I feel like, you know, I've kind of evolved in terms of like how I think about where I'm spending my time and where I'm getting like value out of my own life. So I think that's one thing. It evolves over time and you just have to kind of give it time to like settle in and feel. And like what I'm doing this year, my goals this year might be totally different from next year, and that's okay, right? And just kind of see where I want to spend my time and my energy going forward. So I think that's one thing. You know, on the investment side, I think one thing I learned is everybody does it differently, right?
Yeah.
So just like meeting more and more people. Yeah. Like
it just confuses you more.
Yeah, it confuses you. Some people are all in on real estate. Some people are all in on venture finance. Some people are all in on private equity. It's like whatever it is, people have their lanes and they kind of focus on that and it is what it is, right? And yeah, some people might have better returns, but there's no like quote unquote best way. It's just like whatever people kind of fall into and they're comfortable with and they like.
So I do think there are some commonalities, but yes, everybody executes it a little bit differently.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And everyone has opinions.
Yeah.
Everyone has opinions, especially about wealth managers. Everyone's got an opinion about wealth managers.
Yeah, I've got that down too.
So yeah. So, I mean, I think those are some of the biggest learnings. Yeah, I think taking time to like let it all sink in and like not rush into something, I think that's something I know. I was ready to jump in and do something else, so I think it was good that I slowed myself down because I think a lot of people do that. They jump in right away. We acquired a company after we were acquired by private equity. We acquired another company. The guy left and like started a company immediately. And it was like,
really?
Yeah. He made a lot of money. I mean, he never has to work again. And he lives in a place that's like low cost of living and like never has to work again. And he just like jumped in and like straight for it. It's like, give yourself a time to decompress and see, is this really what you want to do? Or do you just want to go grind again for no reason?
It's almost like the skill of spending better for yourself is definitely something to build. It's like flexibility. It's like you have no flexibility at first and it takes a while to be able to touch your toes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those are good.
What are your learnings?
You okay. Know? I have a list. I'm going to try to pluck a couple and then stop me if you want to go deeper in on stuff. You talked about financial advisors. That's so interesting because on Reddit Fat Fire, on different forums, I feel like financial advisors basically get shit on left and right. And that makes sense because probably 80% are bad. Mm-hmm. But I do think the 10 to 20% that are good are actually a good value add and make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like real estate agents. It's like the majority just got their certification in 2 months or something and then are just slinging deals and pushing people into stuff that doesn't make sense. But
sure.
There is some value add there.
Yeah. And I think beyond the value add of what investments they bring and stuff, there's the value for some people who just don't want to think about it.
Yes.
And for them, they'd rather just hand over their money and happily pay the fee because they just don't want to think about it day to day. And they want to trust someone and say, here, go. So I think there's value beyond eking out additional returns, but it's like not even having to think about it, right? So I think I've learned that along the way.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's even more so psychologically. So like I wasn't looking to beat market. In fact, I don't even think I was looking to match market because I'm not sure I could mentally stomach the swings of whatever natural event happens or unnatural event, whatever. But there's this really good post Chamath or tweeted, which was psychology generally negatively affects your market returns.
Mm.
And things dip 20%. It's very easy to say, Yeah, of course you hold. That makes sense. In theory, that does. Okay, what if you dump $50 million in a month before because you read that don't dollar cost average, just lump sum. In data-driven models, it's basically the same or it's better.
Yeah.
Okay, makes total sense, but psychologically, that is borderline torture to really watch and to see that. So,
or even just like the market dips in 2022 and it's like if you have money sitting on the sidelines, oh yeah, it makes sense. Throw money in. The market's low. Everything went down. So easy to say, so hard to execute. Very hard to execute.
Especially in larger sums, I found.
Yeah.
I remember back in COVID, pre-deal, I was like, wow, things are sliding. Apple's down 30%. I've always wanted to be a shareholder. Mm-hmm. Great. Made sense. I don't think I could do that today. And also you think, oh, but could it go lower? I think it'll go lower. Who knows?
Exactly.
But I do think that a good advisor helps with the psychology of it and being able to take you out and being non-emotional about decisions.
Yep.
I do think with that also, there's a very difficult switch of going for regular income to living off of your portfolio and figuring out your income and expenses there.
Mm-hmm.
That is another skill that takes time, but and I'm not fully there, but I do recognize that that is like not easy to figure out. And mathematically, it's also difficult, especially if you're in a high tax state and there's different investments that are taxed, that aren't taxed, depending, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I think I also said it's okay and normal to be lost for a few years, probably going along with this thing that was going around. I wish someone said that it could take time to figure things out, and that is perfectly normal. The other thing is taxes. Did you take advantage of QSBS?
Yeah, I mean, I sold too early. I didn't. I sold at the 4-year mark, the 5-year mark, but I do still have some shares that I rolled in the company, and those are QSBS eligible. But yeah, QSBS is a
great huge win. I wish I had known about it, but yes. Taxes are this extra alpha, essentially, that you can absolutely gain a lot more from.
Yeah.
In your circumstance, though, obviously, it's hard to time it, and who the heck knows? Because you probably got more alpha in 2021 than having waited, but maybe not. Same. I don't know.
The cool thing is, I don't know, a lot of people don't know, but you get the QSBS benefit if you invest in a company, too, which is pretty awesome.
Oh.
So if you invest and get some shares, if you invest early enough and you're following...
If the company is a C Corp or if you're a C Corp.
No, the company, you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
So as long as you have shares in the company and it's what, less than 50 million, whatever the rules are, right? As long as
you're investing 10 or 10, 5, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever you're investing in that company, then if it does sell later on after 5 years, you've held it for 5 years, you get tax free up to 10 million, which is
insane.
Investors win. Yeah.
it's definitely insane. I put also in relation to this that timing is everything, but you don't know almost what time it is. And so I feel like you can have the best business, but be in the worst time and you're dead. You can have the worst business and the best time, like a peak ZERP area 2020, 2021, and do well.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing where actually you do have luck. Isn't that timing? Because you can't really plan that. Whereas
but you don't know it in the moment. That's the crazy part.
In the moment, you don't know. I mean, I knew in 2021, everyone's like, oh, the market's frothy. It's frothy.
But didn't you think that it was just going to continue?
Yeah.
Is this the new way people are buying? Right. Is this how people, you know?
Right. But it's luck. I mean, I think a lot of people feel like they're like, oh, that person sold a business once, they were lucky, right? But it's like, I think the luck side of things is more that timing, right? Whereas running a business, you're running it over years and you have to make hundreds of decisions, and the majority of which have to be right to get to that outcome, right? So I think that's not as much luck. It's more luck, like the timing of things and where the market conditions are. All of that is the luck side of things.
True. Yeah. I agree. I put the book Psychology of Money. Have you read that?
I've read some of it.
I thought that was the most helpful book for me in that it defined the word wealth or like being wealthy in that it's not necessarily a measure of money, but he basically put it as the difference between what you're spending and what you're making. So if that gap is wider, you just naturally feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also why people tend to chase cash flow after
an exit, because
they're like, cool, pot of money, great. But here's my expenses. And like, it's hard to understand the income coming from the portfolio.
For sure. Having like $1 million that you know is coming in every year is very different than having like $10 million in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. It just psychologically feels very different.
Yeah. I put this one, I don't know if this one was the same, but I said real friends and family don't really care about it. I felt like I cared about it more than they did. Like, mm-hmm. I remember this one close friend, I was like, yeah, because it starts to, it's like, you're not doing very much, or you're doing less and less during the day, and things are a little bit more obvious. What, how'd you just buy that house? Or like, what's mm-hmm. that? Or, oh yeah, I sold the company. And like, I remember one friend, he's like, oh, that's cool. You want to go out or something? Or like, and it was such a quick, I think on Fat Fire, some people put like, F you, like make me a sandwich. Or so there's some comment that always recirculates.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just, that made me realize that I'm way more in my head about it and thinking about it all the time than other people perceive it.
Yeah, I agree. I think most people don't really. Yeah. I mean, if you were friends before, family before, you're still the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last one is, I do appreciate more privacy, and I signed up for a service, which we just mentioned on the podcast or on the blog, Delete Me, which was really good, and signed up for that. And like, I thought that was a really cool way of just wiping all my data off the internet, or trying to basically.
Have you noticed less spam or anything?
You know, my work email is just destroyed. I think the email has been recirculated through every SDR possible.
Yeah.
I love the Gmail important thing. So if you don't make the important, you know, thing, I'm sorry, I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
The personal, I literally have spent tons of time though unsubscribing.
Yeah.
So I've gotten it pretty down to the couple newsletters I like reading, but less Googleable, I think, is a thing. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, you could pull up your address and phone number and stuff off of these sites like crazy. It's mm-hmm. nuts. So anyway, and then the last thing I actually put, I'll mention this one too, is money means nothing if you're not healthy. And how can you overspend for yourself there? Which we 100%. Talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, 100%. Agree with that.
Health is
number
wealth.
One. Without Whoa. Health, yeah, you got nothing. Health and then connections, family, friends.
Yeah.
Those are kind of above the wealth.
I agree. Yeah, family and friends. And some of these communities, quick shout outs to like longangle.com, Tiger21, PEF.xyz, I think it is. And I'm sure there's other like post-exit groups if you Google them. But there's a blog post we wrote, a couple of them that we've seen or been a part of. So
yeah, it's helpful to have people who are in a similar situation that you can kind of chat through some of these mm-hmm. issues on. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I've got other topics, but this is for next time. Awesome. All right, next time we're going to talk about budgeting. We're going to talk about personal security stuff. We'll talk about investing in the market, because I've been trying, as which many people in similar situations have been, very heavy in treasuries and want to be more in equities, which has been fun to watch the market rip. It's like, wait for me. It's like the bus. Like, just missed the bus. So anyway, we'll talk about those next time. Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.